Good afternoon. My name is Adrian Gallo. I'm a PhD student at Oregon State University, and I'd first like to acknowledge the moderators for holding the session, as well as my advisor, Jeff Hatton, and my co-author, Scott Holum, and of course, NARA, the Northwest Advanced Renewables Alliance, which is the funding agency that really made this possible. So today we'll discuss a little bit of some detective work, really trying to identify and understand the dynamics of soil carbon immediately following forest harvests. And pardon me for my voice, I came down with a little bit of a bug, so if something is unclear, just bear with me. Now, forests offer a range of resources, and when we manage forests, particularly when we harvest forests, we're really influencing how much organic matter is left on site, aka biomass, and in the process of harvesting, we tend to compact the site due to heavy machinery. So with that, there was an idea started by Bob Powers in the 1990s, and he initiated, or with the Forest Service, and he initiated the Long-Term Soil Productivity Network, LTSP. And the idea was to really understand how forest management affects soil productivity. And with that, of course, delve some site-specific influences. So there are these sites located across the United States with three levels of organic matter removal and three levels of compaction. So first, what do I mean by organic matter removal? Here's a conceptual diagram of the three levels, the first being bowl only, where just the merchantable bowl, or just the stem, is taken and removed. We leave legacy wood, tops, and needles. Total tree takes the entire tree and removes legacy wood. And total tree plus forest floor takes the entire tree and scrapes off the oak horizon. Now, I must emphasize, these are not meant to be operational. These are really meant to bracket and kind of constrain what the exact ends of forest management can be so that we can interpolate treatment responses rather than try and extrapolate. So what do they find with these organic matter and compaction treatments? Well, one of the things that I'll pick out is, again, this started in the 1990s, and this is a figure out of a decade worth of findings. And what they found is, you know, immediately following treatment, there was this increase in soil carbon. And why did soil carbon increase? And there's two reasons why that they suggest. The first is there's a rapid respiration or decomposition of residual organic matter, essentially the slash that's left on site. Some of that stuff burns off as CO2, and other material will then leak into the mineral soil as dissolved organic carbon and contribute to the soil organic carbon pool. Now, with microbial respiration, there are two major factors that influence that, soil temperature and soil moisture. They really control the rates of respiration and microbial activity, so we'll focus on those two aspects. Soil temperature and soil moisture, and of course, soil respiration. The second idea as to why soil carbon could increase following treatments is roots. Once trees are harvested, those live roots are now senesced, and they're now being broken up by microbes, and they become part of the soil organic carbon pool. And this could be one of the reasons why soil organic carbon is increasing following treatments. So we'll focus on these two aspects and trying to parse out exactly which one of these mechanisms could be responsible for soil carbon increases following tree harvests. So this is my research site located in Western Oregon near Eugene. And of course, we're interested in what the immediate effects are. So we have three time points that we sampled soil. The pre-treatment in 2012, immediate post-treatment in 2013, and then 2 years following in 2015. And in between treatments in 2013 till now, we have constant soil temperature, soil moisture observations. And for 2 years following treatment, soil respiration observations also continued. Now, as I said before, there are three levels of organic matter removal and compaction, but this is not the three total levels. This is a modified version of the LTSP network. We still have the three levels of organic matter removal, so bowl only, total tree, and total tree plus forest floor. And then we also have compaction, no compaction. Notice the purple, the unharvested forest reference, that was added in opportunistically after the fact. And speaking of colors, the orange is the total tree plus forest floor removal, the most impacted treatment, and the green is the least impacted treatment. Now, these colors will remain consistent throughout the entire presentation. So we're trying to manipulate the quantity of biomass and the bulk density of these sites. So how successful were we? I would say very successful. Along the X, what we have is bulk density, and along the Y, we have the O horizon fine surface biomass. Again, in purple, we have that pre-harvest average. So that's what these sites look like before they were harvested. Now the bull only, BO in that dark green, the least impacted, does not have compaction, but it has the highest quantity of fine surface biomass. And its partner, BOC, bull only with compaction, that has about the same level of fine surface biomass, but it does have a higher bulk density, and that's exactly what we wanted to see. Now the same is true for the total tree and total tree with compaction. Those pair very well, of course, with much less biomass on site, because the total tree was removed. And total tree plus forest floor, again, there is no forest floor, so it's almost on the zero line of that fine surface biomass, but it does have the highest bulk density. So of course, we're going to talk a lot about soil temperature, and this is soil temperature. Along the X, you have 2 years of soil temperature. Along the Y, you have depth from 10 centimeters to 1 meter, and the redder the colors indicate hotter the temperatures. And what you see is basically two growing seasons. First, we'll focus on the unharvested forest reference in the top right-hand corner. And there you can see that, you know, even at a meter depth, soil temperature really only gets to about 15 degrees C. So now let's focus on the top left-hand corner, the bowl only, no compaction, the least impacted treatment. And at the surface, it does get to, you know, 20, maybe even 25 degrees Celsius. But at depth, at a meter, still barely even touches 20 degrees Celsius. Now let's step one down to the bottom left-hand corner, total tree, no compaction. It does get noticeably warmer, especially at the surface and at depth. So this suggests as you increase the level of organic matter removal, there are increasing soil temperatures. Let's look at the most impacted treatment, the bottom right-hand corner, total tree with compaction. There, what was interesting that we found is even at a meter in depth, there were still soil temperatures that registered up to 25 degrees Celsius, much higher than any other treatment. And something else unexpected that I'll just mention briefly is diel soil temperature with these treatments. And diel soil temperature is the difference between the maximum and minimum soil temperature within a single day. So again, the colors are consistent, and what we have are, with each panel, is 10 centimeters soil depth at the top all the way to 100 centimeters soil depth at the bottom. And as we notice, as you increase the level of organic matter removal from left to right, you also increase the diel flux, the how much soil temperature fluctuates within a single day. I want you to focus on the 100 centimeter depth and the orange, total tree plus forest floor removal, because what we saw is even at a meter in depth in the growing season, the daily flux is between 6 and 8 degrees Celsius. To put that into perspective, that's equivalent to about a seasonal transition from winter to spring at that same depth. And of course, the purple, the unharvested forest reference, is kind of that baseline of what we expect to see. So far, we've seen that as you increase the level of organic matter removal, you see increase in soil temperature. I won't show soil moisture simply because there were no differences in soil moisture. So basically, with all things being equal, we expect soil respiration to really be a function of soil temperature. As you increase the level of organic matter removal, those are the sites that had the highest temperature, we should also see the highest rates of soil respiration. And this is what I'm showing now. Along the X, we have soil temperature in Celsius, and along the Y, we have soil respiration. And these are partitioned into three sources of soil respiration using the collar or root exclusion method. And I'm going to focus on the top, the O horizon respiration. Thinking back to the idea of Bob Powers that it's the residual O horizon material that will respire very quickly. Some of that blows off as CO2, and some of that leaks as DOC, dissolved organic carbon, into the mineral soil. That should be responsible for some of the increases in soil carbon. So the O horizon should see higher rates of soil respiration with those plots that have the largest quantity of biomass left on site. So the dark green and light green. Now, unfortunately, we were unable to find any statistically significant differences between the least impacted treatment and the most impacted treatment. So again, the most impacted treatment doesn't even have an O horizon, but the rates of soil respiration were about the same for both of those. So this suggests it's not really the O horizon and that the residual forest biomass that's blowing off a lot of steam, per se. So let's look at carbon stores now. Now, first, what I want to show is the differences in soil carbon. So instead of the raw values, what I'm showing are the differences in these comparisons. And the comparisons are, from left to right, immediate post minus pretreatment and immediate post minus 2 years post. We'll focus on these first. And the effect of organic matter removal from the immediate post or pretreatment show that there is an increase in soil carbon stores, right? About 18 megagrams of carbon per hectare. Now the difference between immediate post and 2 years post, shows an approximate rebound in soil carbon stores. So this suggests that there's an increase in soil carbon immediately following treatments, about 18 megagrams of carbon per hectare, and then it kind of rebounds back down, although only 16 megagrams of carbon per hectare, 2 years after treatment. So this is just, you know, it comes back down to some sort of equilibrium. Now, some would say, okay, it could still be the forest floor that's contributing to the soil carbon. So that means we should really compare the plots that have the most forest floor with the plots that don't have any forest floor. And the two comparisons on the right show exactly that. And this is the immediate post-treatment bowl only with compaction minus total tree with forest floor removal. And we're going to focus on that 2 years, all the way on the right-hand side. Now, this shows that even at 2 years after the fact, the difference in soil carbon content with the most surface biomass and the least surface biomass are indistinguishable from each other, meaning that at 0 to 15 centimeters, it doesn't matter what you have above. The soil carbon content is the same 2 years after. So it can't be the O horizon that's contributing to the soil carbon content. And the carbon to nitrogen ratios so show something similar, that there's an initial bump up in the carbon to nitrogen ratio in the immediate post minus pretreatment. It kind of levels off again at the immediate post to 2 years post. And again, when we look at the difference between the forest floor and then without forest floor all the way on the right-hand side 2 years after the fact, there appears to be no difference in the carbon to nitrogen content. And again, one has a large O horizon and forest slash, and one doesn't even have an O horizon. So to conclude, what we found is, of course, as you increase organic matter removals, you also increase soil temperature. Now, with that, even though all treatments had the similar rates of soil respiration over the 2 years, we expected that those plots and those treatments that had the most biomass, especially with the O horizon respiration, to also have the highest rates of respiration and then thus higher soil carbon content. But that's not what we found. So the carbon content values and the carbon to nitrogen ratios data suggest that it's really roots that are contributing to this increase in soil carbon. But this story isn't done yet. What we really need to do is figure out exactly how to identify that carbon. And we are able to do that with a method called cupric oxidation. With cupric oxide method, we're able to identify not only how much carbon is there, but where that carbon came from, whether it looks more like a leaf carbon or looks more like a root carbon. And this data is being analyzed currently, but it does appear that the cupric oxide method does suggest that the carbon content increases are as a result of coming from root carbon as opposed to carbon from above. So with that, I thank you for your time, and I'll welcome any questions. In the back?
Was this, these plots, are they in the Coast Range or the Cascades?
They're on the Cascades, just east of Eugene, near Springfield, Oregon, for those that know the area.
Is that AGA Andrews, the experimental forest?
It's very nearby, just slightly to the west of that.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? We have time for one more. Okay. Great.
Thank you
very much.